We're not going to lose the war. We might lose a battle every now and then, but we're going to win the war. As Christians, we win. We're in a struggle right now, but we win. You may get knocked down and your eyes, spiritual eyes may get blacked. You might even get a nose broke. The devil may even inflict, what he considers a fatal wound, but he can't defeat you as a child of God. You win. He may draw blood every now and then. He may cause you to think that might as well give up. But I'm encouraging you today not to give up, because you win. There's a fight to be fought, the fight of faith. If Satan can get a victory over any Christian, he has won a victory over everyone they would have impacted with their life, and everyone they have impacted with their life. Think about that for a minute. You have lived a Christian life for maybe some period of time, and you've walked the walk of faith, you've fought this fight of faith, and you've won a lot of victories, you've learned how to be an overcomer, but then one day maybe you just decide to give up. What he has done, he's just influenced all of those that you had influenced with your walk to give up. They are looking at you and thinking, well, if they can't do it, maybe I can't do it. If they give up, probably I will too one day. But that's not the way it ought to be, and that's not the way that it really is. We all walk this walk and fight this fight of faith, and we cannot afford to give up at any point of time. We just can't quit. I know it gets rough sometime. I know we get weary in well-doing. The Bible tells us not to get weary, but we get weary. But the Bible says if we don't get weary, it says this in the King James, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. That's what it says. Don't give up, in other words. Don't quit. You might feel like fainting or giving up. You might feel like everything's against you, but don't give up, because we're going to win. So 1 Timothy 6, chapter 11th verse says this, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. If you want to know what those things are, back up and read 6 through 10. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Then he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth or make alive all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only Pontinate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So be it. Father, today in the precious name of Jesus, we stand, Lord, as a yielded vessel. We stand, Lord, as a mouthpiece of righteousness. We ask, God, that you would anoint us today with the Holy Ghost and fire. Help us, O Lord, to present your word in a way worthy of you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 22nd, I didn't give you scriptures, did I, Brother Robbie? Well, forgive me for that again. Anyway, you should have asked. That's your fault. Amen. Preachers can play that game too. It's a good game. I apologize, Brother Robbie. Just dawned on me. Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 22nd verse, it says, let us hold fast the profession, or the confession, the surrender of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let me turn over there and read the rest of that to you. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 22nd verse, and it says, and let us consider one another. Let me back up to 22, actually, is where I want to start, and then I'll read down. It's giving Robbie time to catch up. And let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, that's not what I'm going to preach about, but I'm talking about faith and drawing near to God. And faith and drawing near to God through Jesus Christ are inseparable. If you are walking in faith, you are drawing near to Jesus, or you should be. You can say, I have faith, and you never walk with Jesus, or you never do anything for God, or you don't go to church, and you don't do what God asks you to do in His Word. You probably don't have the right kind of faith. They're inseparable. Faith and walking with Jesus are inseparable. Drawing near to God through faith is inseparable. You got to have it both. You can't have it one way or the other. Faith is defined as sincerely approaching or coming to God and believing in His goodness, drawing near Him through Jesus Christ to find His mercy. See, you want to fight this fight of faith, you're going to have to draw near to God. You're going to have to get close to God. You can't fight this fight on your own. Really, you can't fight it without a good church body backing you, helping you, being a part of the army of God, and drawing, clasping hands or arms together. Sort of like we used to play that old game, Red Rover. You ever played that game? We need one another so we can draw near to one another as we draw near to God, and we can support one another. I used to like that game. I just liked it, Anyway, we've kind of roughhousing that game a little bit, but we'd clasp hands together or arms, lock arms together. We'd ask somebody to come see if they could break through. If we really wanted to have fun, we would just let them, by the time they got there, we'd let them, we'd just let go and let them fall through. Stick our legs out as they went by and trip them. But the part of the game was to keep them from breaking through your battle line. We need one another if we're going to fight this fight of faith. We need to hold fast the profession of our faith. Faith is a word, Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it means a belief or trust, especially in a higher power. In Scripture, the fundamental idea is steadfastness and faithfulness. God wants us to approach Him with steadfastness. In other words, we're not going to quit. We're just going to keep on keeping on till we can't keep on keeping on, or till Jesus comes again. We're going to fight this fight of faith if we have to crawl to the finish line. We're going to fight this fight of faith and keep serving Jesus and doing all we can for Christ if it means somebody has to drag us across the finish line. It means that if they have to drape us across their shoulder or put us on some kind of something to carry us across. We're just going to keep on keeping on until Jesus comes. And that we should encourage one another to do this. And so we need to draw near to God and hold fast the profession of our faith. We're fighting a fight that's worth fighting. The victory that we are going to experience, the rewards that we're going to receive are well worth every battle scar. How do you get scars? By getting wounded. Right? So you're going to have battle scars. You're going to be wounded at one time or another. This walk of faith it might be like somebody's playground. It's not like preschool, though. It's not like your 3-year-old granddaughter coming up to you and she wants you to play and you don't do what she wants. She'll look at you and say, I don't like you no more. Okay, you'll get over it in a few minutes. Oh, by the way, I have M&Ms in there. Would you like some? Yeah. Well, I don't like you no more. You can't have them. And all of a sudden, she decides, I like you. It's not like that. The devil doesn't like you. The Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So who you want to serve? Somebody wants to kill you, steal you, and destroy you? You want somebody serve somebody who wants to give you life and give it more abundantly? I want to serve Jesus. It's a lot better life, in my opinion. Oh, I might have, you know, anyway. Hey, let's go to 2 Thessalonians for just a moment. 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, second verse. It says, let me go to verse 1 and read that so it makes more sense. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be able to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So what's he saying here? Well, one thing he's saying is this right here. He says we want the Word of God to have free course. In other words, we want to be able to preach it without any restraints put upon us. We want the Word of God to touch people's hearts, and we want God to be glorified in other men like it is in you today. But he said, but there's other people who are unreasonable and wicked and don't have faith. Not everybody has faith. Fact is, there's probably somebody in this small group of people today that doesn't have faith. We're here, you're here, but you really don't know Jesus. You've really not accepted Him as your Savior. You say you have faith, and you may be putting on this facade that you have faith, and this facade that you love Jesus, but when you get outside the church, or you go through your daily life and your daily walk, it's not showing that you really have that faith that you need. You're just putting on a show for a certain amount of time. Folks, this faith walk is not just on Sunday morning for an hour or so. It's every day. Every moment of every day. Every second of every day should be a part of your faith walk. But there are men out there and women out there, people out there that do not have faith. They have so little faith that they want to try to tear down your faith. They want to try to drag you down to their level. And folks, we have to fight the fight of faith, even it means fighting family members, friends, co-workers, other church, whoever it is that would drag you down and try to get you to give up on God. You have to shun them, not in that sense that you just not have anything to do with it, but you let me rephrase that. You want to make sure that you stand up against that falsehood and not let them drag you down and cause you to say, well, it's not worth the effort any longer. Have you ever got to that place fighting this fight, dealing with certain people, dealing with issues in your life, dealing with the pain that comes from different types of loss, and dealing with just the struggle of just living in this present evil world that we're in, that sometimes you think, I don't know if it's worth it or not. Have you ever thought that? You're sick, you're financially bankrupt, you just don't, you know why you get that way? Matt, can I suggest to you one reason you'll get to that place is you're not praying enough. You're not building up your most holy faith in prayer and supplication before God. You're not building up your faith in reading God's words. You're letting your mind and your circumstances rule. That's what happens. But we're in a fight. And the devil's going to try to get in your mind and cause you to quit. That's his goal. That's his job. That's his ministry. That's what he does. And he does it well. Not giving him any glory, but I just want you to know, he excels in what he does. But our God is greater. Our God is greater. So all men don't have faith. All men are not faithful to God. All men do not show fidelity to God, but God is faithful. Verse 3, it says in 2 Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you. So he'll keep us, establish us, and keep the saints from evil. In all the saints that would obey him, we have to learn to be obedient to the Lord. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Some of you say, well, I sacrificed to be here today. I know one family that got halfway to church, had to turn around and go home. Then they turned around, came back, and got here late, but they came. It would have been easy to say, well, we're going to be late. I don't want to be late, so I just won't go. Well, you know what? If that family would have done that, there would have been two Sunday school classes very disappointed. There would have been a pastor and a pastor's wife angry. You'd have got angry about it? If I got two Sunday school teachers that lay out on Sunday because they just didn't want to make it, yes, I would be angry. You shouldn't get angry. You're a preacher. I didn't say I'd throw a fit. I said I would be angry because they let everybody down. I would be disappointed. Maybe I should, that'd be a better word. I'd be disappointed. But since it's my kids, I'd be angry. How dare you let me down? I understand when some of these others let me down, but not you. Actually, I don't understand when anybody has a place. Boy, I'm meddling now, aren't I? You got a place of ministry in the church, and you just get up one morning and decide you're not going to go. That is hard for me to understand. That's hard for me to accept. I may not jump you out. I may not get on to you about it, but boy, I'm going to guarantee you I am talking about you when you ain't listening. Me and my wife are, you know how y'all have preacher's hash? We are having whoever you are hash right there. Whoever it is, it's like, I can't believe it. They want God to move in their life and they won't even come to church. They want to be a leader in the church and they don't show up for their job. You can't be a leader like that. I'm going to move on because I'm meddling. It's Christmas. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said nothing. It's Christmas. Well, folks, you understand what I'm saying? We're fighting a fight of faith, and we can't let down in the fight no matter who we are, whether you're lay member or leader in the church. You can't let down. You've got to be faithful to God. Can I suggest to you that sometimes the reason we don't have our needs met sometimes because God knows we're not faithful? He knows you've laid down your sword, you've laid down your shield, you've took off the helmet of salvation. You just took it all off, laid it down, said, Lord, I'll come back, pick it up later, but right now I kind of want to do this. And then you pick it up and come back to church a few weeks later and say, hey, I'm back. Hey, I'm back. Hey, in a few weeks I expect to be back where I was before I left. Don't work like that. You lay it down, walk away for a year, you're not going to come back and walk right back into the same position you was in when you left a year ago. You got to go back right back through the same proving ground again. Preacher, you're ugly today. I'm telling you, we're fighting a fight of faith, and we got to have everybody fighting with us, staying on the Lord's side. It just don't work. Fighting this fight. I should just stay with my notes, hadn't I? Well, my wife's telling me to, I know I'm in trouble. But I know this, when I get through, there's a lot of good food back there. You see, we go through these things. Not everybody's is faithful to God, but the Lord is always faithful. He is always faithful. We let him down, but he's faithful. He's never let us down. Paul had confidence in God that God was faithful. And God was so faithful that he will establish you as a saint of God. He'll help you establish you, give you a firm foundation, and he'll help you be able to resist evil. He'll help you be able to obey him. He'll give you all the tools you need to be able to overcome the enemy and overcome any obstacle that the enemy puts in your way. It doesn't matter what it is. It may look really large. It may loom before you and you think, I can't overcome it this time. I can't make it this time. But God is faithful. And if you'll remain faithful to God, God will help you and to overcome that obstacle. It doesn't matter what it is. It may loom pretty big. It might be sort of like little David.
shows up with a little bread and some cheese for his brothers, and there's this giant on the other side of this valley that is calling out the children of Israel, and there's no warrior, there's no one strong enough brave enough or bold enough to step out and say, "I'll take him on." Have you ever been kind of run over by a bully? Well, I have at one time or another, and I've been a bully a time or two when I was a kid, but I've had some bullies kind of run over me, and I finally get enough of it. When I was a kid, I'd get enough of it, and when I'd get enough of it, then I'd say, "That's it." And finally, usually when you'd say, "That's it," and fight back, that's when you'd find out they weren't near as tough as you thought they were. I had one kid bullying me in the junior high one time. He's actually younger than me, but he's always bullying me. We'd be in gym class, and he playing basketball, and I couldn't play basketball, but he's always getting the best of me, and then he'd laugh at me and bully me around and just, you know, just one of them kids just harassed the fire out of me every single day. Finally, I got enough of him, and I popped him a good one. You know what he did? "I'm going to tell my brother." I said, "You tell your brother, just bring him on. I'm not afraid of him either. I'll take your whole family on. I'm sick of you." Guess what? Nobody, his big brother never tried to take me on either. So I had enough of it. Well, Wesley Smith used to harass the fire. When I was 10 years old, Wesley Smith, we'd go get a soda pop after church over at Peyton Holiness Church. We'd walk down to Thompson's grocery store. Get us one of them old coolers, them really, you know, them old bottles of pop, the best pop in the world. That's where I got addicted to it. We'd go down and get us a pop and a candy bar after church, and Wesley Smith and them one of them's a priest. What's their names, Mother? Cooper Boys, and them. There's another group there. There's a bunch of them sorry outfits from Payton, Oklahoma. But anyway, they didn't like my cousins, and so since I was Stone, but I was a Davis, they'd come down and they'd start harassing me. They'd harass me, and they'd harass me. Finally, one day, I got enough of it. Wesley come in there, and he started in on me. I said, and my Aunt Marie was there, and she said, "Dennis, I'm sick and tired of you them letting them boys run over you." I said, "Well, I thought, well, I'm tired of it too. I think I'll do something today." So I reared back, and I kicked that boy in the shins. I said, "Now, come on, let's go." And you know what that boy did? He ran out of that store. Guess who was right on his heels? I chased him 4 blocks and couldn't catch him. Guess what? Wesley Smith never bothered me again. The Cooper boys never bothered me again. I can't think of the other group. None of them boys ever bothered Dennis Stone again. Because I said, I've had enough. That's what we need to do with the devil. You got to do it with the devil. Fight the fight worth fighting. That fight was worth fighting because they were harassing me. The devil harasses you. Fight him back. He'll run. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let him know who he is. He ain't nothing. So we fight a fight of faith, and God is faithful to us. He's always faithful to us, and we should be faithful to him. He's faithful. So he's faithful in regard to his creation. He's created us. Psalms 119, verse 90. Says, let me go to verse 89. I know I do that to you all the time, but verse 89, Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, forever. The first word in that chapter, that verse, forever. Psalms 119, maybe I, what is that lamed up there for? Oh, I see it. It's up here some kind of, never mind. Y'all ignore that. Well, it tricked me too. Forever. That's a heading over it. Because this is a song, and so that's the heading over that part. Forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. His word is settled in heaven. If he said it, that's it. He doesn't change. He's God. It goes on to say, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. His word is settled forever, and his faithfulness is unto every generation that he has established on earth, and it remains. It abideth, the word says there. It remains. It hasn't changed. Over the centuries, his word hasn't changed. His promise to the church has never changed. He is still God. They continue, it said, according to his ordinances, for we are his servants. So his word never changes. God never ever changes his word. It stands forever. If he said he's faithful unto all generations, then he is faithful unto all generations. If he says he'll keep you, he will keep you. If he says you can walk on water, rest assured you can walk on water. If he, whatever God says, that's the way it is. Because he's God, and he doesn't change. His promises are yes and no. And not no, actually, his promises are yea and amen. If you look at 1 Corinthians, Second Corinthians, the first chapter, and you'll see a picture of that right there. 1 Corinthians, Second Corinthians, the first chapter. Now, I could be wrong, but that's where I think, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 1:18 says, but as God is true, and our word towards you was not yea and nay. Paul's saying, God is true, and what I said wasn't yes and no. But God is true, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea or yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes or yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God, by us. Now he which established us in you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who has sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Do you understand? God says it, that's the way it is. God is faithful and God is trustworthy. God is an honest spokesperson. He doesn't ever tell you something and change his mind. If he speaks something into your spirit and it's God, it won't change. He won't tell you to do something, then change his mind. He won't promise you something and then take it back. Well, we do, don't we? Somebody, lots of times people promise you one thing, they don't do it. And they don't give you any explanation when they don't do it. They just don't do it. They expect you to accept it. Well, sometimes it's easier to accept it when there's an explanation. You know, a person gives the words, you ought to keep your word. Jesus keeps his. God keeps his. And he's promised us a lot of things in his word. And he keeps every promise. Every promise. We're fighting a fight of faith. We got to be able know that we can trust our spokesperson. It's not like our president of the United States these days and his spokespeople. They'll say one thing, do another. Or they'll do another and come out and say, that's not what we done. Well, that's not what we meant. They change all the time. You don't know whether to believe anything most of our politicians say. You don't know. You don't know whether it's truth or not. You really don't. But when God says it, it's true. If God says it, it is established in heaven. God won't change. He's a God that doesn't change. He's an honest spokesperson. God is faithful, and God gives us salvation. Give me just a few more minutes. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, and also will do it. God is faithful. He's going to bring us out one of these days. If you'll fight this fight of faith and be faithful to the end, God's going to bring you out. Do you understand we have heaven to gain? The opposite side of that, you have hell to shun. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want a chance going to hell. You don't want a chance being left behind. You won't be ready if the rapture takes place. Oh, he said, well, preacher, you talk about this almost every week. Almost every week I think about Jesus coming. Practically every day my mind is on the coming of the Lord. I wonder, is he coming today? Is that the cloud he's coming back on? Is that the last sunrise I'm going to see on earth? Is that the last sunset I'm going to see on earth? When I go to sleep tonight, is that the last time I'm laying my head down on my pillow? I don't know. All I know is this. I better be ready no matter what day or hour he comes or what day or hour he calls me home. Because he's going to call us all home at one time or another. We're all going to go see him. We're all going to die if we don't go in the rapture. It's going to happen. You got to stay ready. God is faithful. We need to remain faithful. He called us. He's going to lead us out one of these days. I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus. I'll be glad to lay down this cross that I'm carrying. I'll be glad to lay down these burdens that's burdened me down for a while. I'll be glad to get out of here. Get into my perfect body, my perfect existence, with my perfect God in His perfect place that He's prepared for me. I'm looking forward to heaven. And I've got a lot of people I'd like to go see when I get there, but I'm going to have plenty of time. So He's heading there. And He's faithful in your suffering. I don't know what all of you are going through. A lot of you suffer in different ways. Some of you physically, mentally, and your emotions are just tore all to pieces. Some of you, your finances are just a wreck. There's different things that you face that you're suffering with. But I want to tell you, and then there's some of you that you are coming under attack by the world and by the enemy's forces. There's just all kinds of attacks that we can suffer on this side of glory. But God is faithful in your suffering also. You need to stand firm for God. He is faithful, and you must commit yourself to Him. And so He is faithful. Look at 1 Peter 4:19. If you would with me right there. 1 Peter 4:19. So we'll understand what it says. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Do you see what he says? He didn't say there wouldn't be suffering. Fact is, this book of Peter, a lot of it does deal with suffering, things we're going to go through for Christ's sake. And he said, but in fact, this verse 12 says, don't think it strange the trial that you're going through. You're going to go through some things in this life. Don't think you're not. Don't think you're going to be exempt from it. Don't think because you become a Christian, everything now is just peachy and rosy and everything's going to be well. It's not necessarily going to be. You're going to have a lot of good days. But even the bad days are turned into good days because you trust in the Lord. And you know He is faithful. And He's going to help you through every bit of your suffering. It says here that we need to understand, commit the keeping of your souls to Him in well-doing. Commit. That word commit there is a banking term that means deposit for safe keeping. Deposit yourself for His safe keeping. You understand? Give your life to Him and He'll keep it safe. Well, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the suffering I'm going through. I don't understand all you're going through, but I know this, that you can commit your life to Him and He will keep it safe. It's like we rented a safe deposit box and we took our important papers up there and there's this big old vault. It's fireproof, tornado-proof, you know, all that kind of stuff. That we put it there for safe keeping. Well, I have deposited my spirit, my soul, myself, into the hands of God for His safe keeping, and I can trust that no one's going to break in and steal it. No one. We're in a fight. We need to fight the fight of faith. You know what? He knows about what's best for His creation. He knows what's best. I know you face temptation sometime, but God knows what's best. You are overcomers in the name of the Lord. You're overcomers in Jesus' name. He knows what's coming. He knows what you're going through. I just want to tell you as we close today, hang in there. Shouting time's coming. You may not be shouting today, but shouting time's coming. You may never feel a shout on this side of glory ever again, but shouting time's coming. It's coming. You may be fighting a real battle right now, but shouting time is coming. You're going to be an overcomer if you'll hang in there. He's faithful to strengthen and protect us from Satan. He is faithful to do that. King James, New King James Version of John 17:15 says this, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world. And then verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And verse 20 says, I pray for all those that believe in me through your word. We got to hang in there. Keep believing in God. Believe in Jesus through the word of God. Trust him to keep your soul. Trust him to keep you safe right up until the end of this age. He's going to protect you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to help you overcome the forces of Satan. Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. He couldn't get him with temptation, so he finally got him to the cross using wicked men to get him there. But Jesus defeated him. The grave didn't hold Jesus. Death didn't conquer him. We used to, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He come out of that grave triumphant. He lives today triumphant. He's alive and well today triumphant. And ladies and gentlemen, you can be an overcomer. You can fight this fight of faith and you can win. You know why? Because we can always trust God. We can have peace with God. We can have confidence that he'll supply divine support for us, for God is our strength. Fight the fight of faith. It's worth it. It's worth it. Whatever you go through this week, next year, it's worth the fight. I was talking to a friend this week, and he's a preacher friend of mine, and we went out for lunch on Friday, and found out that he's got a whole arsenal of weapons. Well, not automatic weapons, but he's got lots. He's got 9mm and 380s, and he's going to get ready to buy him another Glock, and he's got a bag full of ammo and their weapons, so that when this world begins to fall apart before Jesus comes, or if someone would riot in his neighborhood and come to burn his house down, that he can grab his weaponry, get in his car, and fight his way out of there. You know, it might happen. It could happen. We don't know where the next terrorist attack is going to come from. We don't know with the racial strife that's being promoted from our White House when the next racial riot is going to take place in America. Our White House today is one of the most divisive presidents. We have one of the most divisive presidents we've ever had in my lifetime that I can remember, that I know of. Trying his best to divide this nation back into black and white and different races. That ain't the way it is with God. We're all the same. We need to understand that. I refuse to be drawn into that fight. But I am ready to fight the fight of faith. Prepare myself for the coming of Jesus, regardless of what we may have to face. We've already had one terrorist bombing in our state. We could have another one. That one was a homegrown one. We don't know where the next one may come from. Well, the reason I said that is this. I believe it's all a part of the end of time. That Jesus is about to return. And these things must take place preceding the coming of Christ. The world is getting set up for a one world order and someone to step up and say, I can fix this. I can fix this. I can bring peace. I can bring harmony. I can restore global order. But there'll be no real peace until the Prince of Peace comes again. But before he comes again to establish his kingdom, he's coming for the church. Are you ready? Are you ready? That might be today.
And you must be ready. You'll not go to heaven without being born again. You'll not go to heaven believing in any God other than the one true living God who sent Jesus. You have to have accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must be born again. Would you bow your heads? Father, today, we've delivered this the best of our ability. The type of soil that has fallen in, Lord, is, well, only you know. But I pray, Lord, that it would not return void. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's living shallow or not a Christian, would you speak to their hearts? Would you draw them by your Spirit? Would you reveal to them their ways? All of us, Lord, show us your way, that we can walk with you, that we can be overcomers, that we can be victorious. We bless you for it, Lord, and thank you. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. While every head's bowed, people are praying. Would you allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to your heart? And as He speaks to your heart, would you listen to His voice? Take this opportunity, which could be your last opportunity, to come forward and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and allow Him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to allow Him to make you new again.